I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, on the 89th Psalm, the last Psalm in the fourth book of Psalms, the third book of Psalms. We, a couple of weeks ago, did the opening one, Psalm 73, which was the first Psalm in this book. This is the last one, and we've just been singing about the faithfulness of God, and this hymn is about the faithfulness of God from a dark period in the history of Israel, and yet it's a hymn of praise and a song of the greatness of God. Psalm 89 is a masque of Ethan the Ezraite. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made my covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Selah. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. The Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain, and with your strong arm you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength. And by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people, you said, I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. I have found David my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will be subject to him. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. Horn, by the way, is a word for strength. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. I will also appoint him for my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commandments, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky, Selah. But you have rejected, you have spurned, you have been angry with your anointed one, you have renounced the covenant with your servant and have defiled his crown in the dust. You have broken through all the walls and reduced his strongholds to ruins. All who pass by have plundered him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have turned back the edge of his sword and have not supported him in battle. You have put an end to his splendor and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with a mantle of shame. Selah. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life. For what futility you have created all men. What man can live and not see death, and save himself from the grave? Selah. O Lord, Where is your former great love, which is your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all nations, the taunts which your enemies have mocked, O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Very interesting passage of God's word that deals with the tremendous realities of life and working out the faithfulness of God in life. Ask hard questions that I wonder if we ever asked them, have we ever thought those things in our hearts? Well, we look at those this morning and we reflect again on God's great faithfulness. For just last weekend, we remembered that he did remember his promises to David. For from the house of David came King Jesus, who will reign forever and ever. The end is near. Well, I don't mean the end of the world, but the end of 2017 is near. That moment has arrived. We've come to the end of another year. 2017 has been pressed into 2018, a time when everything changes. Do you ever stop and rest and reflect? Do you ever sit down these days? Do you ever have the time just to kick your feet back and think about all that's happened? I had 4 hours in the airport in Newcastle on Friday, and I had a lot of thinking done, just running my mind back over the year that has passed. This time last year, I was just back from Peru, and then all the things that have happened between you and us and all the things we've been through. We take time to remember and reflect. There are tears and there are triumphs. There are sadnesses and there are joys. There are disappointments, hopes that weren't fulfilled, and surprises that we never expected. It's the way the year was. As you reflect on it, you know your year. Take time to reflect and to remember what has happened. But it's also the beginning of a new year. A new year lies ahead of us. It's stunning that it's almost a year ago that we said that. Well, it is a year ago that we said that. And suddenly it's here this morning again. They pass so quickly, don't they? Some of you young people think, listen to him. Well, let me tell you, they get quicker every year. They get quicker and quicker every year. Suddenly 2018 is beckoning and we're looking into it, and there we go. And the great question is, what will it bring? Listen to television, the news channels today, and they're telling us about all the challenges and the hopes and the fears and all the things that are going to happen and all the political things. And every one of us looks at our own lives and we wonder, is it my last? Is this the end of it all? What'll open up for me? I'm a young fella. Oh, I'd love to get into that course. Love to do that. Love to go. Yeah. The opportunities. The great things that lie before us. An unwritten page. A blank page in which to write. What will it bring? What will be there? How do we face it? One of the things I am persuaded of, friends, that as Christians we have got to change the way that we think about life. I'm going to say more about that tonight, but I think it's crucial that we begin to think in biblical terms. Because one of the things that disturbs me is that we have so many people who say that they're Christian, they believe in God, and at the same time, so little influence in our land and our country. Because the way it thinks isn't the way the Bible thinks. Say more about that tonight, we'll come back to it. So the theme this morning is God is faithful. And all I want to do is to remind you about that this morning. I want to put it into your thinking that as you go into 2018, you go with the thoughts of who God is, and God is a faithful God. And we live by it. And when we get up in the morning and we face difficulties and we face problems, we face opportunities, that we think in those terms, that those are the things that control and influence our lives. And the first thing I want to remind you of, that God is faithful to his creation. There's times I listen to the Green Debate on the television. And you listen to them go on about it, and it's such a nightmare. It's such an end that seems to be coming. It's nothing but down the road it's going to be a nightmare. The sea's going to rise and this is going to happen. It may do. But you know something, friends? Our God has promised this, that he would never destroy the world again. And he made a covenant with Noah, and he said this: as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. Friends, until he decrees that, the world is not going to end. Yes, we may suffer because we have taken his creation and used it selfishly and unwisely, and we have caused all sorts of difficulties, but you know what? It's not going to bring the end of the world. It's not going to bring the end of humankind. We don't need to worry like Stephen Hawking about finding another planet that we can all head off to someday, somewhere, maybe for the survival of the human race. There's the promise of God. There it is. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So tomorrow will happen, and so will the next day, and next week, and next month, and next year, the next century, the next millennium. As long as God decrees it, it will continue. And friends, we have got to use the world wisely. And yes, young people, you've got to be thinking about these things and the issues we've got to deal with. God means us to take his world and use it wisely. He put us in it to care for it and to nurture it and look after it, not to destroy it. But it will go on. It will go on. There will be a future. God has promised it. God is faithful to his creation. And the creation will continue and go on. But not only is he faithful to his creation, he is faithful to his person. I'm going to take you to a verse this morning in 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13. Here's a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. We are faithful as he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You need to take this one and look at it and think about it. You can run it off your tongue and think you know what it means, but do you? Look at it carefully. There are two sides to this as it goes through. If we died with him, we will live with him. There's an opposite every time. If we endure with him, we will reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. Paul is echoing the words of Jesus: if you disown me before men, I will disown you before my Father which is in heaven. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. And friends, you know what that's saying to us? If in the end of the day we are found out to be people who have no faith, that we're a faithless people, God will remain faithful and he will deal with us in judgment. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what the two sides of the verse are. You've got to follow it through. Died, live, endure, reign, disown, faithless, faithful. Why will God be faithful to himself? Well, he tells us clearly, for he cannot disown himself. He cannot deny himself. He cannot change who he is. God's person, says Paul, is such that he never changes. The Old Testament reminds us that God is not a man that he should change his mind. And friends, we're dealing with someone who remains forever the same. One of the big difficulties in life is the changing of people, isn't it? There's some people you meet, you never know what they're going to be like. One day they're bubbling and they're bouncing up and down. The next day you meet them, oh dear, sorry I met you today. That's the way it is. And we're all a bit like that really, aren't we? We sort of go up and down with the days and the changes. Things hit us and they knock us about. But friends, we have a God who never changes. A God who cannot deny himself. A God who remains forever the same. As he was in the days of Adam, he will be to the end of time. As all the saints of history have encountered him and found him, so we remain. Isn't it amazing that we sang a hymn from the 1700s this morning? And you say, oh, old-fashioned. No, it's not. Because he lived in the same world as we lived, and he was able to say, new every morning is the love. 1700, 400 years ago, and it's still the same. Because our God doesn't change. Our God will never change. He remains forever the same. Our experience may vary. Our life may be difficult, but we can be sure of this, friends, that the God of love and of mercy and grace will remain forever the same. You may say, I don't see much of it. Well, then that may be the case in your life. That's why we read Psalm 89. Because Ezra the Ethanite, he was having a hard time. Or Ethan was having a hard time, so he was at that particular moment. He was trying to make sense of all that God was doing. But he stands and says, I am certain of this, God is faithful, God remains the same. I can't understand it. I can't see it. I can't get my head around it. I don't know why these things. Well, I do to one level because we have turned against you. We have been faithless. We have done these things. But oh God, where is your promise today? And friends, it's still the same today.
You and I may grapple with the world in our personal circumstance. You may grapple with the world that we live in, but God remains forever the same. He cannot deny himself. He cannot disown who he is. As he was, he is, and he forever will be. God is faithful to his creation. God is faithful to his person. God is faithful to his purpose. Why are you here this morning? Why am I here this morning? Why are we sitting here? Well, Paul puts it like this: he will keep you strong to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to be blameless on that day. But why? Why you and me? Why, instead of other people, did the light dawn into my heart and mind? Have I got something about myself that's absolutely fantastic? No, I haven't. I'm not really cleverer than most other people, really. I've learned how to read plenty and pick things up, but haven't got much original about me. But yet I understand the truth, and so do you. Just ordinary people, and yet the light of God has dawned on our hearts and minds. Why? Because God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. You and I are here because God has called us. It was a moment on the road of life when from eternity past he had set his love upon us, and he came seeking us, and he came finding us. He moved us, he corralled us, he pushed the circumstances until finally he put us in that corner, and the light of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ shined the glory of God into our hearts and minds, and we fell at his feet and we said, "I do." And friends, he who has begun that, he will not stop it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He will do it. If God has set his love upon you, he is not going to turn his heart and mind. It is his purpose to save you and to save you for all eternity. It is his purpose to save you and to keep you. He will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of Jesus Christ. It is his purpose. God is faithful. God doesn't change his mind. We need to remind ourselves of that. The purposes of life can change. People can have one purpose one day and another purpose the other day. You know, that's one of the problems I have with the leadership at the minute. Are they really Brexiteers or they're not? What are they? What is their purpose? Well, let me remind you that the purpose of God is to save a multitude that no one can count, every tribe and tongue and kindred and people. And on that day, we will stand in that great crowd, and he will be faithful to that purpose. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to hold on to us. He will be faithful to his purpose. He will be faithful to his promises. I'm just going to take time now to run down a number of promises. I'm not going to give you anything very difficult this morning. Some of you will say, "I'm glad about that." Well, I'm glad you're glad. But we need to think. We need to work at it. We need to reflect on these. If you've got a pen, jot a few of these down. Take time to put them into your heart and mind. Here's what God has promised you. Here's what God has given you in his word. All right? So first of all, his promises. In the book of Hebrews, he says this. The writer says, "Let us hold unswerving to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." The writer's saying, let's hold on to God's promises, because he who promised is faithful. He's going to keep them. Okay? And he begins to reflect, and he reflects on Abraham. In chapter 11, at verses 11 and 12, he says, "By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become the father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise." He throws us back to Abraham. Never forget, Abraham laughed and Sarah laughed when God said, "You're going to have a son." When God made the promise to him, but he was enabled by faith to hold on to it, and God kept his promise. And so from this one man, and as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless on the sand. And you and I are here this morning. The writer says God is faithful to his promises. Remember Abraham. Remember Israel. And we've thought about Israel. Israel was a covenant promise of God. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of a love to 1,000 generations, to the love of him and keep his commandments." And yet, the whole thing with Israel was up and down. The whole story of the Old Testament is one day they're up, the next day they're in sin, and God has got to come and rescue them. And God holds on to his promise, and God keeps his promise, and God keeps at it, and keeps at it, and keeps at it. God doesn't throw them away. God keeps his promises. And then there's the exile. And that great verse in Lamentations. You know, friends, we're inclined to sing that, and we sing it in a very comfortable attitude. But the day Jeremiah sang that, Jerusalem was in ruins. The place had fallen down. The promises of God, where were they? What's happening? What's happening? Because of your great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. In a broken down Jerusalem, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Jeremiah was to look forward to the day when the covenant would be renewed and that the world would be changed and Jesus would come. God is faithful to his promises. That's the whole sweep of the writer to the Hebrews. He wants us to understand that God keeps his word. Okay? Well, let's pick them up. Will we ever be lost? I preached this a couple of Sundays ago. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. They shall never perish. I told you that Sunday morning, the Greek language needs to expand out to, they shall most certainly not forever perish. John could not have used a stronger phrase to underline the words of Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit comes to us and says, they most certainly never forever perish. They're in the Savior's hand. They're in the Father's hand. And God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. And I know, friends, I'm sure in this congregation this morning there's someone sitting here. Over the years as a pastor, they've said, Pastor, am I saved at all? My dear friend, put your faith in him and he keeps you. I give, I keep, never lost. And then will we ever be abandoned? Yeah. You ever thought about that? Sat down and said, where's God? Where is he? Don't see much of it. I've prayed and he doesn't answer. Well, listen again. Writer to the Hebrews, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I seek you. Well, I threw that up on the screen during the week. I thought to myself, you know, here's the world. The love of money and discontent. They're running and they're chasing and they're running after all the time. And there's nothing there. But look what he puts against it. The promise of God. His presence. His keeping forever. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So friends, amidst the changing scenes of life, money won't do it. And all the things that the world runs after won't do it, but his presence forever. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's one of the interesting things when you read some of the early stories of the saints of the New Testament time that were put to the arena. They weren't afraid to die. Because all they said was, they can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. I'm safe in his hands, never abandoned, never lost. You get that understanding, it changes all of life. He holds me. He's always with me. Will we ever have enough strength? Let's try it again. And your strength will be equal to your days, was the promise that God made through oh, long ago, and it will be. I like that verse, your strength will be equal to your days. It doesn't say how many, because it'll be all of them. And it doesn't say what type, because it'll be every type. your strength for all your days. Your strength, no matter what type of days they are, will be equal to the challenge you face. Now, friends, that may be that we come through in weakness. Well, I know there are times you get down to your knees and you're bit under the ground and it's there, but it's always just enough. It always gets us through. Because he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He holds us. He keeps us. He keeps his promises. And it goes on. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, and that's a sort of pet name that God has for Israel, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. What a phrase of God. Who's coming to help us? The pastor? God forbid. If you're depending on me, it's worse than a broken stick, friends. But here's only the one who rides in the heavens and on the clouds is his majesty. They're his. He is the creator of the universe. This one, the eternal God, is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We're inclined to corrupt that and say round about and underneath are the everlasting arms. It doesn't say that. And I can't find a reference in the Bible to round about, but I do find that one. And I remember old Billy Mullins saying about it. He says, if the arms were round about, the danger is you could drop it. But if the arms are underneath, they're always underneath, no matter how far down. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Always enough. Always enough. So is our problem temptation? Don't tell me it's not. It is, isn't it? We face it every day. It's all around us. It's always there. The evil one wants to destroy us. But listen, no temptation has ever taken you except what is common to man. You know, there's sometimes that you can get, you know, why me? Well, it's no different than anybody else. It's common to man. And listen, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted, tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, you can provide. He will also provide a way so that you can stand up under it. The word tempted there is a double-edged one. It's either testing to prove that we're good and what we are, or it's temptation to evil. Which one? Both. No matter which it is, friends, we'll always have enough. God is faithful. He will not allow us to be destroyed. As a parent, that's how you treat your children, isn't it? There's things you've got to let them go into in life, but you're always looking to hold them up and keep them. That's what he does with us. He knows the path that we take. There are times he darkens it that we cannot see the enormity of what's around us. There's times he hides himself. Times he does so many things, but always he's doing it that we will stand up under it. He will keep us. God is faithful. So is our problem Satan and this evil world? Could be very soon, friends, for some of us. Well, let's run again. Paul says of himself, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. It's sort of an understatement, isn't it? Paul's working in the world. He says, not everyone has faith. I've got a problem here. There's evil, wicked men, and they're trying to do me down. And listen, read the New Testament, and that's the way it was. It was difficult, it was hard, there was persecution. But the Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. So is our problem growth and holiness? Well, let's say that again. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and body and soul be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a standard. What a prayer. Sanctify you through and through thoroughly. changed, thoroughly made more like God. Your whole spirit and body be kept blameless. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. You know, friends, you and I don't really change ourselves. There's got to be a willingness and a surrender at his feet. But if he doesn't do it, we'll never be any different. And he has taken us and he has promised us. So Paul at one level prays that we are those people, that God will do with it, but God will do it. He is faithful. He will do it. So is our problem of falling to sin? You ever been there? Have you let the Lord down? It just lies like a black cloud on the horizon. Never goes away. When you read the Bible, it jumps up again. You're the boy who let the Lord down. You're the woman who, oh, what a disappointment you turned out to be. I've met people like that. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in us. That's the first place we start, friends. Never get to the place where you think that you are the only one. From me, right round this whole room, we have all failed, fallen, and are sinful people. Not telling you that to keep it going, because John will go on at the beginning of chapter 2 and say, I tell you these things that you do not continue to sin. But he says, if you do sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a fantastic verse. The theology of that verse has got to be appreciated. He is faithful. That's God. God is faithful what to his promise. God is faithful to the work of his Son. God payment cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then at mine. God remains faithful to the promise to his Son's work. He remains just, righteous. He cannot ask payment from my hand if God the Son has paid it all. There is always forgiveness. There is always renewal. There is always a new start. It's under the blood of Christ. It is gone. God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the end is near. The year ahead. We stand between the years. I suggest, first of all, we need to be a thankful people. The words of Psalm 89 we started with, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven above. As we look back, he's kept his word. And we need to say thank you. I'm still here. I'm still going. Like the writer of Psalm 89, it's been hard, it's been difficult, it's things I don't understand, I can't get my head around, but you have been faithful. And secondly, there's confidence. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. What's your confidence in this morning? But don't look around here. It's the wrong place to look. As a church, we need to look to the Lord and say, it's him, the faithful one. He will do it. As individuals, he will do it. I don't know what's there, but of this I am confident. I will get through. I will make it to the end. I will be in that multitude that no one can count, because he is faithful. He will do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We've just this morning opened your word and looked at something of who you are, and Father, write it on our hearts as we go into the new year. As we look back over the old year and move forward, Father, write it on our hearts and open us up, Father, just to have that confidence in you, that thankfulness, that rejoicing that we are your people, and that we look forward to the dawning of eternity and the glory we will have with you forever. Father, change our thinking. Here is this day, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.